Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that it's a number of different things, and the more you look at the defense without Bosa and Fred Warner, yeah, they're compromised, and so now you're going to have to rely on other people, other players, other systems, other schemes, and yesterday you saw Robert Saleh try to blitz a little bit more, and they got burned a couple of times, and it was blown coverages. It wasn't that the blitz didn't get home. Upton Stout actually was about a step away from getting home, and Baker Mayfield made a big-time throw, and you got beat on the back end because it was a blown coverage. So I look at this in totality of everything. The offense has to be able to possess it and give the defense more of a chance, now more than ever. Yesterday was one of the rare times where you won the time of possession battle and you lost the game. That doesn't happen very often in the Shanahan era, and I think that's the first time this year that that's happened, where you won time of possession, but you lost the football game. So that, to me, becomes more important, where the Shanahan offense of keep it and run it and you go out there and score. And that's why I look at that first drive in the third quarter yesterday, where you come out after halftime, you're down 20-16, but you get the ball. And they go from their own 24, they go down the field, boom, 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 slowly but surely. And then you get to that spot where first and 10 of the 15, Juwan Jennings, reckless offensive PI, and it wasn't even close. Like the ball wasn't even thrown, and he sees a guy, and he just cracks back on him, and now it's first and 20. So your chance to maybe cash in for a touchdown, it goes by the wayside. And then the other one, you've got fourth and one, and you're going to go for it, and Dominic Pooney false starts, and so now it's fourth and six, and you don't pick it up. So I do think that a couple of the little plays, if you would have buttoned them up yesterday, you still could have won that game, even though you lost Fred Warner and you had a hard time protecting your quarterback.
Here's Kyle Shanahan on the Fred Warner situation and what Fred actually said when he addressed the team after the game.
I've seen guys do it before. It's not something you ever ask a guy to do or anything like that. You never know where guys are with injuries and stuff. Sometimes they can't even function at that point, depending on when it happened in the game. But it was cool to have Fred come out and do that, asked to do it. And he was in a good place. I mean, guys are hurting for him big time. Not only is it impressive of a football player I've ever been around, but it's impressive of a human as I've ever been around. And the foundation and base he has just as a man and how he lives his life. I mean, you guys read his quotes and stuff and how he's looking at this. And that's as real as can be when you hear how he speaks. And that's why we know he'll come back next year stronger than ever.
Okay, so, I mean, look, that's who they're dealing with. And that's why, and I think this is right before you got here off of the flat tire.
Oh.
But, you know, someone texted us in or said on the YouTube chat, come on, man. It's one guy. It's one guy. You got to be able to replace one guy. I see Fred Warner as more than one guy. I just do. I see him as actually probably three players. Fred Warner is a phenomenal linebacker. And then number two, he is the quarterback of the defense, sort of adjusting everybody on the fly. And then three, he is their locker room leader. There's no question about it, at least on defense. But I think on both sides of the ball, he is somewhat of a team spokesman. And so that's why this absolutely changes the way that I will look at the season and the way, at least in the near term, I receive 49er football. That's kind of my thought Sunday night. Don't get me wrong. I'm still a fan. We'll make food. We'll yell. We'll scream. We'll get into this. But I'm also bringing a new level of curiosity to the football game on Sunday night with the Atlanta Falcons. I would like to know. You talk about how they can still function. I'd like to see it. I'd love to see What is their functionality on defense? No acquisitions yet. What's your functionality on defense without Fred Warner and Nick Bosa? Curious.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm very curious as well, and I look at a young defense with still some really good players, and I look at a coordinator who is a veteran and a guy who I'm sure has already gone to work and figured out not only who's going to be the green dot guy at linebacker, but how do we go about replacing what Fred Warner does. Now, there's no replacing Fred Warner, but somebody's going to have to play linebacker. Does this mean now that you go to more three linebacker-based defense? Do you go to more nickel? Do you play more big nickel with Jair Brown in there? How do you go about, you know, approaching your defense when you don't have Fred Warner? Like, how do you try to replicate what he does? Maybe you put D. Winter over in the Fred Warner spot and let him run a little bit more wild as the middle linebacker, and you put someone else in for D. Winters. You're going to have to figure out something, some way to do it, because you've got 11 more games without Fred.
Somebody did call us earlier and ask about sort of like the play calling on defense and what happens now with Fred Warner not there. Kyle did discuss it a little bit and named Diamador Lenore in terms of a leadership role. Here's what he said.
When it comes to that stuff, I mean, a Mike linebacker directs the traffic just like a center or quarterback does on offense. So that's more position-based. You don't have the corners making the calls and everything for your front and strengths and where the pressures come from. But, I mean, I like Demo talking that way. I mean, guys who have been here and guys who have played at a higher level, yeah, they all, we need them playing their best at all times, especially in a situation like this. But it doesn't. It also means that it doesn't mean that guys just start making stuff up and doing stuff that they don't have to do. But there is, you know, Demo's been one of our better players here over the last few years, and I love that he's basically, in my opinion, saying he needs to play that way every week now, going forward more than ever.
Okay, so Demo wants a leadership role, but you also hear Kyle say there, look, as far as who's calling the plays, that's the Mike linebacker. That's going to be D. Winters. That's who that's going to be.
Right. And that's going to be the way that goes, because if you're Diamond Lenore and you're 20 yards away from the line of scrimmage, you can't just sit there and call out, you know, protections and call out all the different shifts and all the other things that the defense needs to be aware of. So, yeah, it has to be the middle linebacker. But I love that Diamond Lenore is stepping up in that leadership role because, as you mentioned before, it's a very young defense now, suddenly, without Fred and without Nick Bosa, and you don't really have a true OG over on that side of the ball, and somebody's got to step forward.
Let's go to Jose in Oakland. Jose, thank you for the call.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Look, there's no replacing Fred Warner for, you know, all the reasons that you guys already talked about. The best thing that Lynch can do is do whatever he has to do to go out there and get an elite pass rusher. Okay, if you had to give up two first rounders, you know what, so be it. As it is, you know, every team in the league knows already what the situation is, and they're going to try to make it as expensive as possible for them to get a replacement for either or. But like I said, if you can get a decent pass rusher, that will ease all the pressure that right now the linebacking crew and also the cornerbacks are going to be getting, because that's pretty much what they did yesterday. There was no pass rush at all. I mean, Baker, he was just running all over the place. There was no one after him, no one that could catch him. Right now, like I said, every team out there knows what the situation is. It just got more expensive for them to get a replacement. And the Winters, I don't know. They should, to me, they should activate Nick Martin and just throw him out there. He's going to have to get in and learn sooner or later.
Jose, let me ask you this real quick, and then we'll discuss what you're talking about. You're really willing to give up multiple first-round picks to invest in this year, knowing what we know about how hampered this roster is?
Look, let's be honest about it, okay? Give me a list of the first-rounders that the Niners have drafted that really have panned out. You can probably list me like four or five. And how many first-rounders they had before? It doesn't make any difference. To me, to be honest with you, yeah, the 49ers, they do better from the third round and up.
Yeah. I don't buy this, Jose. I really don't. Thanks for the call. Here's kind of what I'm getting at on that. I don't buy that, first of all, because there have been first-round busts in the past, that we should just automatically give away first-round draft picks because it doesn't matter. Like, first of all, it's also like, Nick Bosa was a first-round draft pick. Did that work out? Mykel Williams. You love the way I love
it's
the
early,
way.
But yeah, yeah.
That's a right. Early returns are good.
I got the list here from my father-in-law, the great Pop.
Okay.
As I've showed you before, yellow legal pad.
Yeah, prior to
Solomon
all,
Thomas, Reuben Foster.
Sure.
Miss. McGlinchey, it's a hit, even though he went elsewhere.
Yep.
He got a second contract from someone. Nick Bosa's a hit. Javon Kinlaw's a miss. Brandon Ayuk is down as a hit.
Yeah,
and
he has to
it's
be.
It's a hit.
Yeah, right.
Trey Lance and the two picks that you traded to get Trey Lance, that's three misses.
I hear you.
And then Ricky Pearsall's a hit. And I'm in on Mykel Williams as well.
Yeah.
So he's batting about 500.
I understand where you're coming from on this. I'm not going to give him three misses, though, for the
miss.
No, because what we're talking about here is talent evaluation and whether or not they can find a good player. So, yes, they missed on Trey Lance. But anyway, from a batting average standpoint, I still don't think that has anything to do with, well, now these picks are worthless because we're not good at it. Like, I would not look at it that way at all, number one. But number two, again, I just, like, to me, you're not, let's be real right now. You're not one player away, I don't think.
Well, you're never one player away.
Well, sometimes you are. I mean, that was what Kyle was saying last week with regard to why they went and got Emmanuel Sanders. They felt like they were one play away. He's like, we had a Super Bowl defense. I thought we needed one more weapon on the offense, stretch the field a little bit, and we could go all the way. And damn it, he was about 6 minutes away from being exactly right. And in fact, that player is the player who Jimmy overthrew, who might have changed the outcome of that football game, ironically. But you get what I'm saying. I'm not going to just get flippant with first-round draft picks because they've had some failures in the first round in the past, number one. And number two, I'm just not going to get overly aggressive about this year, knowing that at a minimum, no matter who comes back, at a minimum, I got no Warner and no Bosa. Like, you have to have a Super Bowl defense in order to win a Super Bowl.
That's and why if you I replace not, Bosa with somebody who is that good.
That doesn't exist.
I mean, Hendrickson is as good as Bosa.
No, he's not. Not even close.
Close enough to where you can go out and get a guy who's going to come in and help you, as opposed to,
good pass rusher.
We can't rush the passer, so we'll just rely on our unproven secondary that's been getting
Not what I'm saying at all.
You're saying is don't make a big move and stand pat with what you have, or make some smaller moves that really won't be that impactful and just ride it out.
But they can
basically
be impactful.
You're taking this year and you're just wadding this year up and you're throwing it away.
Also, what I am very unequivocally and clearly
That's what I'm saying it would be if you didn't go out there and make a bold move.
They will make a move. They may make two moves. I don't think you make a bold move, and depends on what you mean by bold. Again, I don't think that you give up future draft capital at a high level for one-year rental players. That makes no sense to me. That is a poor business strategy, in my opinion. Can you make multiple moves? Do you want to be aggressive? Do you want to get good players? All of that is great. But my first-round draft picks, A, are off the table 100%.
Well,
my second-round draft picks are probably off of the table.
Well, then what are we even talking about?
We're talking about
getting Cleveland Farrell off somebody's practice squad.
Not at all.
Great.
Not at all. I don't know what you think some of these players command on the open market.
I saw what Joe Flacco commanded, and Joe Flacco's not very good, and he's
exactly
a fifth or a sixth rounder.
No,
and you're a terrible team.
It wasn't a fifth or a sixth rounder. It was moving up from the sixth to the fifth. That's a pick swap.
No,
yeah, it's a pick swap.
For a player who's not very good.
Exactly.
Then let's go get a player who's not very good. That's basically where you're going to be shopping. If you want to look at a sixth or a fifth round pick swap, you're going to get the Joe Flaccos of pass rushers. That's what you're going to be looking at.
I didn't say a fifth or a sixth round pick swap. I said.
You said no first.
And
no seconds.
Probably no seconds. And again, the qualifier is, I don't want a player who's a rental. You have to see the bigger picture here if you're the 49ers. Like, I very odd to me that this fan base that gets so mad at them for the Trey Lance thing now wants you to swing big on defense with no Warner and no Bosa. Why would you chase ghosts That's crazy.
Well, that was crazy trading three first-round picks to move up and get another first-round pick.
But that's what quarterbacks cost, which also, by the way, factors into the Flacco thing. Even at that level, a quarterback is a completely different market. But from everything I've read on, if you want to look at pass rushers, linebackers, people who may not be the absolute A-listers, like, there are some names that you can bring in that are not going to be commanding first and second rounders and who are not going to be free agents at the end of the year. These teams, there are a lot of teams that are going to be looking to deal. The Jets are looking to deal. The Titans are going to be looking to deal. The Dolphins, absolutely.
So if you get a linebacker and Fred Warner is back healthy next year and you've got D. Winters, then this linebacker that you have for multiple years is not going to play.
That's not necessarily true. First of all,
I mean, that's the way that's going to go.
No, you can have three linebackers. First of all, you do start three linebackers.
They rarely play three linebackers.
Secondly, you need depth.
Sure. I mean,
again.
And they have depth.
Yes.
And, you know, they drafted Nick Martin, and that's what Jose in Oakland was saying. Like, go ahead and elevate him. If we're going to go ahead and see what we have with younger players, let's see what we have with the younger players.
It's not what I'm suggesting at all. I'm not suggesting that we just turn this into let's check out younger players. I don't see it that way at all. What I see is you have to be measured with this. That's all I'm saying. I would be very, very hesitant on a first or a second round pick, and I'd be very hesitant on the Trey Hendricksons of the world who are coming in for this year alone. That's pushing all of your chips into the middle of the table, and that's just my opinion. Without Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, I'm not pushing all my chips in the middle of the table that the Niners, 3 months from now, this hampered, are going to take down Green Bay, Detroit, or Philadelphia, like, or the Rams, or Tampa, or whatever.
I don't think that this current team has a chance to do that, but if you get better with Trey Hendrickson, and it cost you a little bit in draft capital, I'm all for it. Yeah. You're 4-2. You're in first place in your division. You're 3-0 against your division. Let's think big. And it sucks that you lost two of your best defensive players or your two best defensive players. That's really hurtful. So go out there and do something about it. When it happened to Detroit last year, that was December. There was nothing they could do about it. They were screwed.
Yep.
It was after the deadline.
And that wasn't,
you're not in this spot.
That was not just Hutchinson. That was like half of their
defense. That was my point.
Yes.
It happened all after the deadline, and this is happening before the deadline. You're in a spot where you can be more aggressive than Detroit could last year, where after the deadline, there's nothing you can do about it. The Niners have chances, choices, and options.
I disagree because I just don't see the 49ers this year as in the same situation, not comparable at all to what Detroit was last year. Detroit was coming off of a collapse in the NFC Championship game. They were going to be the one seed. They were on their way. They were winning almost every week. They felt like they really had something that they needed to protect. That's not the 49ers. Never forget that Warner and Bosa are now off of a defense that was already in a reboot. This defense was already in a transition. You already spent a bunch of draft capital on guys on that defense who, by the way, are immediately playing. Some of them giving you great dividends, but it's a very, very young group. This year was not supposed to be the year that you were going to be great. This is the year that you try to build and see if you can make the playoffs, and hopefully something special could happen when you get there. But that was the vibe that Kyle Shanahan gave before the year. It was, let's see if we can get better each week, and let's see if we can find our way into the tournament. Those are his exact words. And now you take that same group, lose their best two players, and you want to go all in on a Super Bowl run? I just see that. I see that as running the business in an irresponsible way.
I see it as looking at your situation, which is you're 4-2 and you're in first place. And if you continue, you beat Atlanta and you go out and maybe you win the game after that and you're 6-2 and you're going to think, well, man, this is the year before the year. We should probably not do it. That to me
is
turtling up.
That's different.
And we're talking about it here on October 13th and the deadline is still three weeks away. I'm looking at it like we're in a spot where you're 4-2. Now, if you lose to Atlanta and you lose the next game after that and you're 4-4, maybe you have a different thought process. But right now, coming off of yesterday, where you were a couple, two, three plays away from being 5-1 and having the best record in the NFC and maybe being a player away from having something special happen, you don't get a lot of these chances. And, you know, a 6-11 year is right around the corner. Last year got away from you in many weird ways. And this year, your team in general, while hurt all the time, you're still right there.
Yeah, you're building a hypothetical, so that kind of changes the calculus.
Hypothetical.
No, it's not. We're sitting here right now. Like I already
make a move.
I said you can't. No one's making moves
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. So it's all hypothetical until you get closer to the deadline
off
anyway.
The top that if they like show me you can beat someone without Fred Warner, and maybe that changes the conversation. But even still. Even if you beat Atlanta and Houston, which are not world beaters, by the way.
Huh?
Yeah, Atlanta's kicking Buffalo's ass, but it's early. Anyway, like, even if you do that, I still think there's room to add to this team without doing it at the top of the market. We want to go back to the phones. There's a couple of texts on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. I'd love to respond to. Dibs, respond for sure. Couple things. First of all, 650, Hendrickson, every bit as good as Bosa. Go check out run defense. You'll understand where I'm coming from. Nobody in the NFL thinks Trey Hendrickson is every bit as good as Bosa. Factually inaccurate, my opinion. 707, Willard, would you trade first-round draft picks for Myles Garrett or Max Crosby? That's a different stratosphere. Now you're talking about bringing in another massive nine-figure contract, which I don't even think the 49ers could afford. So in a fantasy land, would I do that? Yes. Yes, I would. But that's also not about this year. That's about bringing in great players for the future. And I don't think either of those players are available anyway. To me, those are not names that I'm hearing on the trade market right now.
Well, Myles Garrett, I think, is getting increasingly dissatisfied with what's going on in Cleveland. I don't know if that will lead for you. You could see, I don't know if you watched the game over the weekend, but
yeah,
they're getting it handed to him, and he's over there, and he's smiling and laughing. And, you know, I look at what's going on in Cleveland, and I can't imagine that he is thrilled with what they're doing over there.
He just had the prolonged trade request followed by signing a massive contract
right.
and committing himself to Cleveland. That was six games ago.
Sure, committing himself to Cleveland. He got the massive contract.
That was
yes.
what his... He wrote a document and put
right.
it on the internet.
Exactly. And now, he got his massive contract.
And now you're already... You think he wants out?
I think that their coach is probably going to get fired.
Well,
and that whole situation continues to be uneasy and there's upheaval there. And I'm sure that Myles Garrett would like to, I don't know, win an occasional game and maybe go to the playoffs?
I don't know. I mean, he signed up for that. Did you see the score of the Bears game?
Yeah, 3-0.
You see who got those points?
Some kicker. Was it? No.
Uh-huh.
Jake Moody?
Uh-huh.
Jake Moody on the field? I didn't notice that.
How long was it? How long of a field goal was it?
I think it was a 47.
Please don't tell me it was. Oh my, are you serious?
I'll double check. It was 40-something.
I saw that they lined
one
up to kick,
one.
And I saw that their kicker made
that
it.
That was him.
Oh, wow.
Jake
what
Moody.
Happened to their other kicker?
I don't know. You got hurt or something. Jake Moody. Activation since
off the squad.
47-yard made field goal, and it was straight through.
Right
yeah, it was.
Down the right between the eyes. I love it. Jake Moody, one for one in his Bears era. Hey, we're talking all of this out, the situation with the Niners on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount+. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Let's go to Papa on the freeway. Hey, Papa, thanks for calling.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me, long-time listener, first-time caller. But I couldn't agree with Willard anymore. I mean, Nostradiblis, you're out of control trying to spend future capital on this team. And that's not to say that we don't want to put the effort towards building this team. No. This is the time for the young guys to shine. All of these draft picks, 12 draft picks towards our defense this last year, and this gives them an opportunity to start building towards the future, you know, decreasing what would be what it costs for our defense nowadays and still keeping our draft picks for the future. I mean, it's pretty simple. I don't think it's that complicated, especially when you're losing players like Bosa and Warner. So I just wanted to say that, Dibs, you're wild, but I love you. And Willard, couldn't agree with you more.
All right, Papa, thanks. I love the way you said it. Dibs, you wild. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at it as a team that's 4-2, and good starts and good seasons are not promised. And so, yeah, you can just go out and find somebody's extra, somebody's detritus. Right now we've got bulk pickup in our neighborhood, and we put three or four items out on the curb, and maybe somebody picked them up, or maybe they didn't, and that's basically what you're talking about.
I'm really not, and you're really mischaracterizing what I'm saying. I mean, you really are. You're not talking about going out
and getting an impact player.
Yes, you're talking about going out and getting a human being
who has shoulder pads.
Yes, I am.
You're really not.
Yes, like, I am. You don't need... What was Emmanuel Sanders? Was that an impact player? That was no first or second round capital.
It was, I think, a third round pick.
Yeah, and that was to bolster a team that had a Super Bowl defense. Yes, you can find impact players, and this year and beyond, without giving up a first or a second rounder. That's literally all I'm saying. I think the Trey Hendrickson thing is a pipe dream. The Bengals are weirdos. They already are acquiring players to help now. I have no idea if they're even going to trade Trey, but to get a rental for a first or a second round draft pick with Warner and Bosa gone for the year, I think is crazy. And by the way, Kyle Shanahan addressed this today, and I think he's telling everybody the way they're thinking, and it's the same as what I'm saying. They're asked, how aggressive are you on the pass rushing market after the Warner injury?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were being that aggressive. I mean, we're looking for things that make sense for our team right now and in the future. You know, not having Fred makes that harder. But it's, you know, I don't see a big difference between Sunday before that game started and today. You know, it definitely hurts losing a guy like Fred, but in terms of people who are available that can improve our team for this year and next year, I don't see the situation that much different.
I mean, he twice said this year and next year.
Right.
And said, we weren't going to be that aggressive, and we're still. And this got even harder. That's all I'm saying. I'm just against an all-in for 2025 type.
It doesn't have to be all-in for 2025.
That's all I'm saying.
You can go out there and get a player like Trey Hendrickson, and you can sign him to a longer-term deal, and you can make it work. Cap schmap is what I'm being told.
Come on.
You tell me all the time. Cap schmap. Get a player.
Way past
keep a
cap
player.
Schmap, dude.
And make it work.
Come on.
Exactly.
If Nick Bosa's coming back. And
is he coming back?
Yes, next year.
Sure.
And you just drafted three defensive linemen, and now you want to go for another nine-figure deal for another edge rusher?
You bring a guy in, and we don't know that Nick Bosa's coming back. You said to me last segment that we don't know if Brock Purdy's coming back. We don't know when Kittle's coming back. And
I'm making the same point that your point was about. No.
I was saying that you're going to get Brock Purdy back and you're going to get Kittle back. And you said, we don't know when they're coming back.
Brock Purdy
and we don't know when Bosa's coming back.
Came back once and immediately had to leave again.
Right. And George Kittle, we don't know when he's coming back because hamstrings are tricky, right?
For your point to be correct about Trey Hendrickson, Nick Bosa would have to never come back. That's a completely different arena that you're talking about. Why would you go invest huge dollars in another pass rusher when you just drafted three defensive linemen early and have Nick on one of the top five paid defensive end salaries in the game? And Brock Purdy's contract is about to kick in.
None of those guys you drafted are pass rushers.
Maxwell Williams absolutely
Michael
is a
Williams
pass rusher.
Is more likely to play inside when you have an actual pass rusher outside.
But he still is a pass rusher. And CJ
from
Weston,
the interior.
Alfred Kill,
those
Collins,
guys are interior defensive
those
linemen.
Those guys are interior, right.
Those are not pass rushers
and
in the same mold as a Trey Hendrickson, who's a legitimate pass
and
rusher.
And you just traded for Bryce Huff, who is a pass rushing specialist.
Right.
And oh, by the way, I'd argue an impact player who didn't cost you a first or second round draft pick. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's what you can do.
I mean, he's not as
do.
Impactful as Trey Hendrickson.
No.
You'd admit that, right?
Yes, but he also can be with the Niners beyond this year.
Right.
Like,
and
this is
Trey
just
Hendrickson
dollars
could
and
too.
Cents.
I mean, you could sign Trey Hendrickson to a deal and, you know, cap schmap, you could sign him to a bonus heavy deal and spread the money out. They've done that so many times and they've got the most cap room in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken.
That's this year, and that's not true next year, and they're trying to keep most of it this year to roll it over because of Brock Purdy's extension. You know this stuff.
I know it,
you're
but
trying
you're
to
4
use
and
my
2.
Words against
I'm
me.
Not using anything against you. I'm just pointing out that you can be bold and you can make things work through your own financial malleability that you've done in the past, or you could just you know, we'll go out there and we'll bargain shop and we'll try to find what we can find and hope it's good enough. And hopefully we can get to 10-7 and, you know, get the seventh playoff spot and see what happens from there.
It's tough.
That's just not my approach.
It's tough. That's fine. But it's tough that you keep spitting my words back to me.
I'm not saying anything about your words.
That's not what I'm saying at all. Let's go to Cabe Bueno on 580. Hey, Cabe Bueno, what's going on?
What's up, guys? Yeah, you know, Willard, got love for you, bro. But I'm going to lean with Dibs here on this one. I feel like, listening to you both, I think right now this season, yeah, it's looking ugly because massive losses on defense. You're not going to be able to replace those guys. But we're still 4-2. We're still sitting in first in the West. And look at this, the schedule this season, our schedule compared to the rest of the league is the easiest. And with the Super Bowl being in our own backyard, I mean, this seems to be the season, I think, where you should, as the 49ers, you should go and make bold moves. You should go and be aggressive and go get difference makers, because it seems to be, I don't want to say the stars are aligned, but look, there's a lot of other factors aside from all these ugly injuries that are just kind of like cursing us.
Right.
This should be a season to take advantage of this and say, look, man, let's play to win the game. As the legendary, as we've been told so many times.
I'm not arguing that at all, but Cabe Bueno, much love to you as well. If you think that the stars are aligning for the 49ers right now to make a run, you're watching a different season than I am. Much love to you, my man. Just because the Super Bowl is in our backyard, the stars are not aligning. And I am the most optimistic human being on the planet, but if you all think the Niners are headed for a Super Bowl without Warner and Bosa, I think you're crazy. That's just what I think. I think you're crazy. And to push all your chips into the middle of the table and give up early capital to go after a Super Bowl where you literally, most 49er fans I know couldn't name half of the defense we have right now. I think it's a fool's errand.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you don't try to get better. I'm not saying you don't try to make moves. I'm saying top of the market rentals, to me, makes no sense.
To me, it's not all your chips in the middle. I think that's mischaracterizing what would ultimately it take. And when you trade 3 first-round picks to move up and take Trey Lance, that to me is more all the chips in the middle than what it would take to get Trey Hendrickson, if that's the way that possibly went, that's the player that you wanted to go out and get. And, you know, you're this awesome drafting team, and you do well in the middle in the late rounds. So for me, I look at what the Rams did when the Rams won the Super Bowl. It was F them picks, and they F them picks, and they ended up getting a lot of really good players at different points in the season, and they went out and they won the Super Bowl.
Right, because they were bolstering a roster that was ready to ride. Now, I think that, like,
Kyle's... Yeah, and I think that this roster is more ready when they get everyone healthy than you think.
And they're not going to get everyone healthy because the 2 best defenders are gone. I think, like, Kyle
Shanahan...
Well,
you're going to get George back and Brock back.
That's all offense.
Brandon back, in theory.
Dude, their defense is shot. It's shot. Like, you can't just rebuild that on the fly with no training camp, with new players, and just bring them in and turnkey, and let's go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. What is the comp for this? And Kyle's trying to tell everybody, if we're listening, like, no. He was asked last week about, does this feel like the Emmanuel Sanders thing? And he's like, not even close. He goes, that was bolstering a Super Bowl-ready defense and an offense that was almost there. He's been asked this now 3 times, and he gives the same answer every time. He goes, no, we're not looking to be aggressive at all, and it just got harder. So, like, I hate to be the realistic one. I hate that word. But, like, the 49er defense, this is not going to be a Super Bowl defense this year. We can have some fun. We can make the playoffs. You're allowed to win when you get there. Maybe acquisitions will overperform. These things are all on the table, but... The fact that some of you feel like this is still potentially a Super Bowl team with no Warner and no Bosa, I just don't see it that way. That's all.
Yeah, and it's ultimately up to them to either see it that way or not see it that way. And you've got 3 plus weeks until the deadline. Yep. And if you win 3 more games and, you know, you're sitting at 7-2, maybe things are different. If you lose all 3, absolutely, then they're not going to be as aggressive. But the whole idea about a Super Bowl defense, it can be whatever you think it is. And if your offense is really good and your defense is mediocre, you can still win the whole thing, or vice versa. you don't have to have two amazing units to win the whole thing.
Then let me ask, what do you think they think?
I think that Kyle has been signaling since before the season that it's not about this year, it's about next year.
Exactly.
And if that's the way you think, then go ahead and bubble wrap everybody, play the third stringers, and let's just suck and get a draft pick.
I wonder why it has to be so all or nothing.
Because why do you keep, if you don't think that you're good enough to win the whole thing, why are you playing Fred Warner and Nick Bosa?
Well, no, because, first of all, the season's not about whether you think you're good enough to win the whole thing. Kyle has been signaling that the organization is at a certain spot where they are going to kind of do both, if you will. Like, yes, we're going to play to win.
Two timelines.
Not two timelines. Now, we're going to do what organizations do, which is always we're going to try to win, but we're not going to, like, make it all about this year. We're going to try to win. We're also going to bring in some young players and try to build them up. And as he said at the beginning of the year, hopefully we get better each week, and let's see if we can work our way into the tournament. And then you never know what's going to happen. And those things aren't untrue now, but I do think that those things prevent you from thinking to yourself, boy, we're 4-2. We gotta go get Trey Hendrickson for right now. And if that doesn't make sense for your financial future, and then you're giving up draft picks, we get so mad at the team when they give up draft picks and then it doesn't work out. This team has been ripped sideways for the crucial capital that they gave up going after a quarterback who can't play.
It's equally infuriating when you use that capital on players who suck. And so if you're going to trade away the picks or you're going to use the picks on players who can't play football, it's all the same. It's the criticism falls under the same umbrella. So if that's the case and you have a player that you actually can see with your eyes who's really good, then trade the capital because you're probably going to screw it up anyway. That's the mentality. And I'm not
of who?
Of many fans.
Well, that's a ridiculous mentality.
Fans who look at Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster and Trey Lance and all the rest of the picks that they've blown. Well, here's a player that you know is good. So instead of blowing the pick, use the picks to trade for a guy who you know is actually good.
So he can come play 7 games for you.
Or 7 games, and then you sign him for a couple more years.
That doesn't fit their future. That doesn't fit what they're doing.
It's allowed to fit their future.
I mean,
or you can just, sit back and not do anything play it out with these youngsters.
That's that all or nothing thing that I just don't understand. There's no business in the history of ever that looks at themselves and goes, let's just sell all of our future assets because we suck at doing what we do. Like, nobody thinks that.
It's not all your future assets.
The Niners do not believe that they're horrible at picking players. And by the way, they're right. They're not horrible at picking players. They have found so much talent that we sit here and get people are practically in tears because of the drafted talent that gets hurt. They're not terrible at it.
Yeah, they're not great at it. And I haven't done an analysis of all 32 teams, but they're not great at the top 3 rounds. They're amazing rounds 4 through 7. I'll give them that. And I don't know if they're the best in football, but they're damn near the top. But rounds 1 through 3 under Shanahan and Lynch, a lot of misses.
We'll let you hear what Shanahan said last week on this exact same subject. Coming up next, we'll tell you about the big kickoff show that's coming up this weekend. 888-957-9570 is the number, and this is Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4th and 5. Throwing for it and intercepted. That's Dean. Jamel Dean with the interception. There is a flag back at the 44-yard line.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, everything goes through a filter, right? And to me, you talk about complimentary football. I agree with you. That's a big part of the Mac Jones discussion. I had a lot of people texting me during the game yesterday, and they're kind of in the whole like, okay, never mind. Like, we can go back to Purdy now. I'm like, hold on. Hold on a second. First of all, like, again, you know where I sit on this. Brock Purdy's the quarterback, and that's
right.
That's that. But I didn't see yesterday as a poor game for Mac Jones. You know, a little ball security stuff there in the pocket. Fourth down interception, you're in a desperate situation. First interception is Kendrick Bourne's fault.
No doubt.
I thought he ripped the ball pretty good, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he looked good.
And that's a hurt player who's fighting through, you know? So anyway, I thought Big Mac was fine.
Yeah, and Grandy's grades tomorrow, and I took a glance at them on social media. The station put them out, and I disagreed with probably five or six of the seven. So
oh, good.
We'll get into that tomorrow a little bit. And Grandy was, I think, very complimentary, like you are, of the quarterback, and that's probably one of the ones that I'm not taking issue with. I did think that, you know, some of the bad throws, you mentioned the first interception, and everybody said, yeah, Kendrick Bourne did the wrong thing, and Kyle talked about a sight adjustment where, as a receiver, you're supposed to be able to run out going full speed and look at what the safety's doing and adjust your route accordingly. And that, to me, is like bananas, but I guess it's kind of like standard for the position. So as he ran out, he didn't see what the safety was doing, and so he broke the wrong way, and Max saw what the safety was doing, and he threw it the other way, and that's why it was an easy pick. And the second one was a little bit of a desperation, and yeah, you chalk that up to just being in a bad spot. But other than that, I thought the offensive line gave him almost no chance to really be successful. And in a game, I never played quarterback at any level, let alone the highest level. But once you start to get pressured like every single time, how do you not have your eyes drop and start to really worry about what's going on? And yet you look at Mac, and I'm looking at my sheet here, and he had a 41-yarder to Bourne. He had a 56-yarder to Bourne.
He had some good downfield throws.
A couple of Tongis. He had one to Juice. And, man, I didn't realize that the Niner fan traveled that well in Tampa. Juice with the big catch, and you hear the crowd, Juice.
Dude, it doesn't matter where everywhere. They play. I swear to God, the Niners are going to play a game in London, and people are going to be chanting Juice. Like, it does not.
Hello.
It does not matter where on earth they play. 49% to 60% of the building is going to be Niner fans. It's unbelievable. We promised what Shanahan said last week. He was asked if this, and I think this was the Tim Kawakami question, right? Like, was he asked, does this feel similar to the Emmanuel Sanders thing where it's like, are you a player away and are you going to go get that player? This time it just happened to be a pass rusher.
The Emmanuel Sanders trade was like, really, you said it, we're maybe one piece away. Do you feel at all similar? I know it's a little ways away to that time.
No, I don't feel at all like that. You know, I think at that time we had a Super Bowl defense that was as good as anyone in the league and probably had been for like 10 years and was pretty obvious. And I thought at the time some of the receivers we were dependent on weren't there, and we were playing some young rookies, and we thought we needed to add another guy. But yeah, I don't totally see it the same situation as right now.
Okay, so no, I don't see it that way, and then followed with I don't see it that way at all. And
right now, he said.
Yeah, and that was prior to the Warner injury, which today he admitted now makes it even harder. So that's all I'm getting at. I really would love the 49ers to play good football. I'd love for them to find some people that can help them play better football both now and into the future. But I think if we're sitting here at 4-2 and thinking about the Super Bowl today with Fred Warner and Nick Bosa gone and no acquisitions made and a head coach saying that he's not thinking about being that aggressive, I don't know, man. That sounds like a hell of an assignment. But, I'd love to see it. That'd be incredible.
It sounds to me like a coach who is resigning himself to another mediocre year and 8-9 or 9-8. And so just go ahead and play Mac Jones the rest of the way. And let's make sure that toe on Brock Purdy gets to 104% before we play him again, because you don't think that your team is good enough to go out and make a bold move to get your team better enough to make a run. So let's shut him down. Let's bubble wrap McCaffrey. Kittle, you rest, and let's just rest everybody.
I get Mac and Tongis
and give me Isaac Garendo toting the rock.
I get all the sarcasm. Is this actually how you feel?
If this is the way he is going to talk about like approaching being aggressive, then you're telling me that you don't think that you're very good.
Well,
so if you don't think you're very good, then let's go full public enemy and shut it down, shut it down.
What if I would say back to you what you kind of said a few minutes ago, which is that, like, first of all, dude, it's only week six.
Right.
So how do you even know what you're bolstering? Like, they're 4-2. I love how many people are like, we're in first place. What the hell does that matter 6 weeks in? 6 weeks in and you're in first place by tiebreaker over two teams.
Right, that matters a lot.
Well, but it doesn't matter in terms of bold moves. It's week six. Like you had said a minute ago, if you go beat Atlanta, you go beat Houston. Yeah, if you go beat Atlanta and you go beat Houston, well, then maybe you do have a little bit of a different conversation. I'm not saying any white flag on the season. I don't know, man. I like this to me, this is not the day for, hey, let's go to the Super Bowl. It's sauce Fred Warner. I don't know. That's just the bucket I'm in right now.
Right, and I'm not saying that I'm betting them now to go to the Super Bowl after that loss, but I'm not of the mindset of, you know, it's over. Let's just go ahead and forget it because we lost Fred Warner.
Not at all.
You're 4-2,
not
and, you know, based on what we're seeing in early returns from Atlanta tonight, that game seems to be getting harder with every play that they actually have. They might put 50 on Buffalo or more, so... And the whole thing about schedule, Sam, and I mentioned this last week, and it's even more appropriate today, as you look at some of the teams that we thought might be pushover-y, the Giants, I think they've found their quarterback. Malik Nabers is not coming back, but the Giants have found their quarterback. Carolina is quietly better than I thought. I thought they might be a 1 or 2 win team, and Carolina hangs in there, and... You talk about the Cleveland Colts. Browns are going to be very tough. Well, the Colts have been, they've been great all year.
Yeah.
So the schedule, Sam, if you look at it and you wonder about, oh boy, you know, there's 5 or 6 or 7 easy games. Well, a lot of those easy games are coming off the schedule.
Some of them. And again, like nothing's going to be easy now. Like the 49ers are a team that some people would love to have on their schedule. I'm sure Atlanta, especially with the way they just looked in this first half, they're going to be licking their chops for the Niner defense this weekend. Although Buffalo did just get a break. Couple things to mention here.
He was out of bounds.
He was out of bounds. It was the last play before halftime.
Whew.
And literally was called a touchdown on the field. Drake London's foot out of bounds with the ball, maybe about a foot short of the goal line. And then the other Monday night game, starring Jake Moody, who is 2-for-2 from field goal distance 47 and 48, and 1-for-1 on extra points, and maybe more importantly, for those of you driving around, if you haven't seen them, all of them right down the middle.
What are you asking exactly?
I'm asking if Jake Moody ever kicked like this with a Niner helmet on.
I'm so confused by your question.
Well, I'm confused by it too.
I'm asking why he didn't kick like that, Kyle, in a Niner uniform. I mean,
I don't know.
I could tell you why.
Why?
Shanahan hated him. And he knew it.
Possibly.
So, okay.
Suddenly now he's got his confidence back in Chicago?
Yeah, he needed a new start. It wasn't Shanahan. It was all of us.
Ah, I gotcha.
Screaming about how much we hated the guy.
I'm sure the Chicago.
He was hurt.
Questionable.
Possibly.
Questionable concern.
He shot his confidence was shot.
Right. And instead of building him back up, we just shipped him out of town for some guy who can never make.
I don't think we did ship him out of town. We just told him to leave.
Right. Oh, you didn't even ship him.
I didn't take
him
to the post
office. Didn't even get him a bus ticket.
I just said, you don't know how to, you know, you don't know how to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think Eddie Pinheiro, dude.
What a dog.
Yeah. And it's fun watching Niner football and having the kicker run out on the field and like, you know what? I'm not even going to watch this. I'm going to go make myself an iced tea because this thing's going to be good.
How was he available?
Yeah.
I do have one thing that Jake Moody did do wrong in this game.
Oh, what was that?
He just kicked it for a touchback.
Loser. I saw it about seven yards deep, too.
I'm so glad we cut that guy.
Here comes another chance.
Oh, no, I think I'm ahead. It's about to happen right now.
Oh, that's his second
on
one,
on that
then.
TV you're watching. Yeah.
That one's about 3 yards deep.
What a loser.
You know what, though?
Position game. Come on, Jake.
If he does it against the Niners, Sky Moore is going to take it out now.
What are you doing, Grandy? What are you about to do on the radio?
We're going to hear the 3/4 of the crossover coming up next because Dibs had car trouble.
Oh, that's right.
So it was a Steiny Goo and Willard for the crossover. That's coming up next.
You going to be okay getting home? You need a ride?
I'm rolling on a spare. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't hit another one now.
No, I already have my what's bugging me for Friday. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you're working ahead. Yep. That's good. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I'll have to let you know.
All right, that's right. If you can get here safely.
Yep.
For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.